Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever felt lonely? I mean, really, utterly, and totally alone. Perhaps it was the first time you moved away from home. You realized that you didn't have any family near you, you didn't have any friends, and you felt as if there was no one there to support you in anything you did. Or maybe it was when someone that was close to you died, perhaps a grandparent or a parent or a friend. And the emotions that you felt were just overwhelming and you felt utterly alone. Perhaps it was here at the seminary, where despite the fact that we are surrounded day in and day out by people, there tends to be a sense of isolation that can be felt here. Or for those of you who have already been out in the ministry, perhaps it was out in the parish, where time and again I've been told it can be very lonely out there. Whatever the circumstances is, all of us at one time or another in our lives have felt terribly alone. And as you think about those times in your lives when you felt as if there was no one there to help you, I want you to hold on to that as we walk down the road that Jesus walked from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross. Because in our own loneliness, we get an understanding of the loneliness that Jesus must have felt as his closest friends and family left him. We begin as Jesus and his disciples walk from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. There, Jesus leaves the 11 aside and goes off on his own to pray to the Father in preparation for what he is about to suffer. And when he returns, he finds the 11 asleep. And it wasn't a very opportune moment for them to be asleep, for the one who had already agreed to betray him was coming back with a crowd to arrest him, Judas. And he comes out and indicates to the crowd who is to be arrested by giving Jesus a kiss. You know, it's often said that the first step on a journey is the hardest. And this was definitely a difficult first step on Jesus' journey. It might have been easier if this had been some stranger, someone who had heard Jesus preaching and didn't agree with him and brought the crowds out to arrest him. But no, it was Judas. It was one of the 12. Judas, whom Jesus had traveled with, who he had eaten with, who he had talked with, who he had taught for 3 years about the kingdom of heaven. And yet it was this close friend who was the first to abandon him. And more than just abandon him, he betrayed him into the hands of his enemies. Do we still think that we understand what Jesus went through? Do we still think we know the loneliness that Jesus must have felt? Just wait, there's more. As the crowds came out to arrest the one that Judas had indicated, the disciples awaken and they come to Jesus' defense. Peter even pulls a sword and cuts off the ear of one of those in the crowd. And Jesus just calmly says, enough. And he heals the ear. The disciples realize Jesus isn't going to protest this. Jesus isn't going to try to defend himself. He's going to be arrested. He's going to stand trial. And so cowardly, they run away. They abandon their Lord. And Jesus was alone. Do we still think we understand what Jesus went through? Do we still think we know the loneliness that Jesus felt? Just wait. There's more. One of the disciples was a little bit braver than the others, and Peter decided to follow behind. A little distance off, but Peter followed, even up into the courtyard of the high priest. And there, three times, he said, aren't you one of those? Aren't you one of those that was with the man who's on trial? And what was Peter's response? I don't even know the man. St. Luke tells us that Jesus was there. That when Peter denied him the third time, that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. He heard Peter's denial. Not only was this one of the 12, but it was one of the three that Jesus often took aside. Peter, one of his closest disciples. Peter, who in the upper room had said, Lord, even if the rest of these deny you, I will never leave you, even if I have to die. Peter, who had seen the Lord transfigured in his glory. I don't know the man. And Jesus was alone. Do we still think we understand what Jesus went through? Do we still think we know the loneliness Jesus must have felt? Well, just wait. There's still more. On the cross, as our Lord hung there, beaten, his hands and feet pierced, no friends there to raise their voice in his defense, being mocked and ridiculed by the crowd, Jesus went to an ultimate low. For as he hung there on the cross, God the Father looked down, and he didn't just see the Son whom he loved, but he saw the vile betrayal of Judas. He saw the cowardly way the disciples had fled in the garden. He saw the way that Peter had sinfully denied even knowing him. And he saw your sin. And he saw my sin. And God, being a just God, a holy and righteous God who cannot tolerate to be in the presence of sin, left his Son to suffer the ultimate punishment. Separation from the Father. On the cross, our Lord Jesus suffered hell in our place. And on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For on the cross, Jesus was alone. You know, it might be easy for us to think of Jesus having to suffer in our place. It might even be easy for us to think that Jesus had to die in our place. But there's no way that we can comprehend what it was like for him on that cross to be forsaken for our sin. Do we still think that we know what Jesus went through? Do we still think we understand the loneliness he felt? Of course not. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the point. Jesus endured all this, the denials, the abandonment, the betrayals, the loneliness of the cross, so that we could not understand it, so we would not have to ever understand what it is like to be without God. What a beautiful picture of love we see as we look to the cross. Jesus giving up everything on our behalf. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't understand that. And that's the point. Jesus suffered death, he suffered pain, he suffered hell in our place. And we know that it was enough for the complete forgiveness of our sins. For on the cross he said, it is finished. And the Greek word there means more than just for something to be done or to be completed. It means perfected, made whole. Or in terms of finances, it means paid in full. Jesus had paid everything that needed to be paid for our sins. Not just suffering, not just death, but even the punishment of hell. And we know that the Father accepted this sacrifice because Jesus' last words were, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The relationship that was broken because of our sin was restored there on the cross, and Jesus gave his spirit back into the hands of the Father. And our relationship with the Father was restored then as well. Our sins were forgiven, and we now have the incredible privilege of being called sons and daughters of God. Jesus endured all of that so that we would not have to know the pain, the terrible loneliness of being utterly alone. Think back again to those times when you felt alone, and picture the Lord there with you, for he was there, and he knew what you were going through, not just because he's God and he's all-knowing, but because he's been there. He's went through it, and so much more. There will be times in our lives when we'll struggle. There are going to be times when we're going to feel lonely, when it's going to seem like there's no one there to support us. But even in those times, we know that we are not alone. For God is there, just as he promised, that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So when we go through those times, think of the Lord there on the cross. And think of him there, sitting right next to you. Because that's where he'll be, just as he promised, to be with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen.